This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Psalm 115, you can hear the heart of the psalmist as he praises him, tells of his excellent greatness. In Psalm 115, you can open up there and follow along. We'll read the first, we'll go to verse 11. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Gracious Father God in heaven, we thank you for this word that speaks to us. Not to us, but to you receive the glory. Oh, Father, would you please glorify your name here. We've met as brethren to worship you. And we want to praise you and praise you. Guide me, Father, as I speak what your word teaches us, not with wise and persuasive words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that our faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? It's a very common phrase. You've heard it. It's been around for many years. And what it refers to is, you know, if you talk about diet and exercise, the common phrase is, you are what you eat. Because in a very real sense, what you eat is converted into your body and makes up the molecules in your body. You know, your body, God is amazingly created the body to take in food and to break down that food and keep what's the necessary parts of that food and take that, and it replaces all your cells and blood and nerves and everything. It turned into energy so that you can move. And so that phrase, you are what you eat, is in a sense true. What you take into your body becomes the building blocks of your body's cell system. It's fascinating. And so if you're constantly taking in things that are bad for you, your body will end up resulting in having bad functions. If you take in what's good for you, your body will end up having good functions. You are what you eat. Well, did you know? Oh, and by the way, soon, I will be a sour cream coffee cake. That's what we purchased, and I'm ready to dig in. Did you know that there's a connection between your life and what you worship? What you worship affects who you are. In a very real sense, as the title of our message is, you are what you worship. You are what you worship. Just like that phrase, you are what you eat, what you take in, converts, so what you worship affects who you are, your identity, your makeup, your personality, your desires, your ambitions. You are what you worship. In our text, we read about this theme, this idea, and I'd like to share with you a few thoughts on this. The first thought is this. We were made to worship. Did you know that? We were made, designed, and created to worship. God created us with the purpose of worshiping Him, but sometimes we don't. We were made to worship. Now, look at verse 1 there in Psalm 115, and you'll see kind of the nature of worship here. The Bible says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Not unto us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. We were made to worship. So the idea of worship here is that our mind, our body, our heart, our soul, our spirit gets lost in someone or something. That's the idea of worship, is that your mind, body, soul, spirit, heart gets lost into something or someone. It's the flavor of worship. And worship is when you take that to the next level and that thing becomes number one in your life. And just to prove that we were made for this idea of worship, you get the idea that your life is constantly engaged in things that take your eyes off of yourself and put it in something else. For example, if you go to a sports game for a team that you're rooting for, and as the game goes on, you're seeing, you know, it's tight, it's neck and neck, and the clock is ticking and it's getting, what happens? You lose complete sense of yourself. Complete sense of yourself. And you're so engaged in what you're watching. And you become enraptured in the athletes going on the court and battling against each other. And you don't even realize that you're making noises, loud noises, and raising your arms and shaking your fist in support. You've lost yourself in that something. Or maybe you've heard a beautiful piece of music. And as you're listening, there's something about it that just completely, you lose sense of your surroundings. You don't even know where you are. And you're just in the music that you're listening to. I had a recent experience at our Easter service when the choir came up. I love the Easter song. I love it. Every time I hear it, I just can't help, but it just resonates within me, and I just lose sense of myself, and I'm just absorbed into the beauty of that song. And to hear the choir sing was such a blessing. Or maybe you enjoy looking at sunrises or sunsets. And as you're watching that globe reach the end of its circuit or come up in the new morning, you're totally enveloped and you lose sense of yourself, and you're just watching that orb rise or set in the distance and the beauty of it. Worship is when you take that experience and that thing and it becomes number one. That thing becomes number one. Nothing else matters except for that. That's what we're designed to do. And we can't escape that. It's in our nature to worship. So the first thought is that we were made to worship. Not unto us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. However, God has given us the capacity, the freedom, to freely choose what or who we worship. That's the second thought. We choose what we worship. Not only were we made to worship, and we were made to worship God, but He's given us the freedom to choose what or who we worship. Look at verse 4 and 7 of our text in Psalm 115. We'll actually just follow through. We got verse 1 that says, "Not to us, but to you, Lord, be honor and glory, you, because of your mercy, your truth. Why should the nations or Gentiles say, 'Where is their God? Our God is in heaven.'" Okay, the psalmist is acknowledging that God should be our object of worship. But then he makes mention that so many do not worship God. In verse 3, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases." Verse 4, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. These nations he's talking about are not worshiping God. They're choosing to worship something else. The work of men's hands, he calls it. So we choose what we worship. Now, what is an idol? Okay. We don't have the word idol in our everyday conversation, but except when we think of maybe the popular show, I don't even know if it's still running, American Idol or something like that. What is an idol? In the Bible, when you read that word idol, the word idol is something or someone that is worshipped other than God. And often the time, when you read throughout the New Testament, you read of these idols that these pagan nations had established. And what they do is they take gold or they take silver or wood or bronze or iron and they form it into this creature or person or thing, and they take that statue and they place it in an altar and they bow down to it and they worship it. An idol. But in essence, an idol is something or someone worshipped other than God. But often the time it takes on the form of an object that you can see. That's why the nations are saying in verse 2, "Where is their God?" You know, we can point to this structure that we've made as our God. Where's their God? And the psalmist replies, "Our God is in heaven. He doesn't need a statue made of Him in the form of brick or gold. Our God is in heaven. He's free. He's beyond this world." Even today, you know, you read of idols and statues in the Old Testament. Even today, there are statues, idols, all over the world. The second tallest statue in the world, 420 feet. I mean, we're talking Statue of Liberty is tiny compared to this. 420 feet, the Spring Temple of Buddha in China. It's gigantic. A giant statue of this Buddha creature there that people worship. All over the world you have these objects of worship. Anything, idols, anything, something or someone that is worshipped other than God. And it's really crazy when you think about it. There are 4,000 plus different religions in the world. 4,000 plus different religions in the world. If you take one, just the Native American belief system, they have about 217 different gods that they acknowledge. But that number compares nothing to the Hindu religion that has, I read somewhere, about 33 million Hindu gods. Imagine that. 33 million different objects of worship that people choose to worship. But all these numbers and all these, you know, options of worship, it boils down to two. If you turn to Romans chapter 2, you'll see exactly that there really are just two options. It's not like you have a giant buffet of what you'd like to worship. It's really that it's boiled down to two. In Romans chapter 2, Paul has been talking about how the world knew God existed through creation, conscience, and eventually through the revelation of Christ. But they chose not to worship God. Instead, they chose what God has made. In chapter 1, in verse 23, the Bible says they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God is saying, okay, you want to worship that? Have it your way. Here are the consequences. Now look there in verse 25. These exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do you catch that? The Bible says that man either worships the Creator or the created. Two categories. Either the Creator God, the God that has created everything that we know, everything that we see, the God who has revealed Himself to us through His creation, through the revelation of the Scriptures, through the incarnation of Christ, through the indwelling conscience in our heads, our God, the true God, the biblical God, or either the Creator God or the created God with a small g. That which is created, an object that exists here in this universe. And the Bible says that the decision is completely up to you and to me, whether the Creator God or the created God is worshipped. You all remember with the story of Elijah when he's on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal are on one side, and he says to the people who are there, he said, if Baal is God, worship him. Stop waffling between two. But if the Lord God, Creator God, is God, worship Him. So you and I have been given that freedom. It's completely up to us. So we have to ask ourselves, who or what do we choose to worship? What's number one in our lives? If worshiping is acknowledging, losing yourself in that's number one, the most important, the thing that matters most to you and to me, what is it? This past week, I had the opportunity of participating in jail worship services here in town. With the new jail that they built, they reached out to local pastors and had them come in to hold a Bible study or a worship service. And this past week was my first week, and I went there. I didn't know what to expect, how it would go, but we met with a group of they split the female with the male, so the women came in, and there are about three of them, and we had a Bible study. And then after that, there was one young man who came in, and we talked about the things of the Lord. But when the women were there, we were talking about those things that give us peace, that people search for and long for with peace. And I asked them, I said, what do you think people are searching for or finding their fulfillment in or trying to find peace in? And without a hesitation, before I got done asking the question, the one said, drugs and alcohol. She said, I know it's like it's all consuming. You just spend all your time thinking about drugs and alcohol. And it was a really engaging conversation. You know, and the first one had these tangible things, but then the second one had a very interesting input. She said, relationships. We try to find our peace and fulfillment in relationships. How many friends we have, or maybe our family. We put them in number one. And what got to me is that we weren't just talking about these things like just, you know, having a fun mental exercise. These women were talking to me knowing, because they themselves have suffered the consequences of putting these things number one in their lives. And they're there with the consequences and the result and the emptiness it has brought. And so when I walked away from there, I was thinking, God, you must be number one. Because oftentimes, most of the things that these women brought up were not things that were wrong. Okay? Illegal drug use is wrong. You can pinpoint that. But a relationship is not wrong. Another individual brought up control. That she had spent all her life trying to control the people in her lives. Now, control is not wrong. You do want to have a sense of control over your circumstances and a sense of order. But what's number one? And so when I stepped away from that meeting and I started looking at the world around us, and I was thinking, you know, even though for the most part our country, we don't have the temples to Buddha, the giant statues and all that with the Hindu gods that are worshipped, they're there. But there are those things that people have as number one. Earlier I brought up sports, and it's not wrong to have sports in your life or to enjoy a good game. But you know, there are people who, it's number one. I mean, their whole life is defined by the sports team. Where they're at in the season. Entertainment, it's number one. A lot of these things are wrong. Money, pleasure. The person in the mirror? These things are not wrong in and of themselves. It's okay to get entertained. Receive entertainment. I believe God has a sense of humor. You find that in the Bible. But when all our energy is spent in trying to go to these attractions and do these things, it ends up becoming number one, and we worship the created rather than the creator. You've probably seen videos of people who have gone to concerts for their favorite musicians. And it's like they're completely exalting this musician as the chief purpose to live. I remember seeing a video of back in the day when the Beatles were popular and they were on stage, you know, singing their song and music, and there were some of the people up front, and they were totally lost it, and were it's like they want to jump out of their skin. It was like overwhelming, and it got to the point where I think it was John Lennon who said, "We're more popular than Jesus." He actually said that. What's number one? Because we as Christians have the choice who or what we worship. We were made to worship. We choose what we worship. There are so many things out there. When I was speaking with the young man afterwards, it was the same thing. Thing after thing that he would bring up that he had tried to define his life with, but it came back empty. What's number one? The third point is key. It pulls us together. We were made to worship. We choose what we worship. We are what we worship. We are what we worship. Look at verse 8 there. If you go back to Psalm 115, you'll see there in verse 5 through 8. This is very interesting. The Bible says, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat." And so the picture is given is that the psalmist is, he's looking at in his mind an idol that some nation worships, and he's looking at it and it's a statue. And there it is. Cold, lifeless, doesn't move. It's got hands, it's got a mouth, got a nose, got ears, got eyes. But there it is. Doesn't interact. Doesn't speak. In one sense, you could say it's dead. It's lifeless. And then look at verse 8. He sees all these appendages and things, but it doesn't walk, it doesn't smell. Verse 8, "Those who make them are like them." Those who make them are like them. Now, obviously, the psalmist is not saying literally when you worship an idol, you know, it's like Medusa, you turn into a statue or something. What is he saying? The more you worship that idol, the more you become like it. Dead, cold, lifeless, void of the life of God. And so what we see is that when we worship the Creator God, we're given life. But when we worship the created God, life is taken away from us. And our lives become spiritually dead, spiritually void of godliness. You can think of it this way. You know, in the springtime, we have the beauty of the flowers coming up and my neighbor's got some daffodils that I love seeing them in the early season, and they come up and they spring, and then the beautiful yellow bells pop out and glorifying God with their petals, and they pop up. Well, if you take that flower and you dig it up and you transplant it into a gravel driveway, what happens? It slowly starts to wilt. The color gets faded. Its head bows down. And that's what happens with worship. When we worship God, it's like we're planted in the soil that we were meant to be in. And God's life comes into us and gives us life so that we can live for Him and glorify Him like the petals of the flower. But when we worship the created God, small g, it's like we're planted into the gravel. And slowly our lives become void of God's work and His grace, and it ends up seeping out of us, and we become spiritually inept. So we have to ask ourselves, how's our life? What do we worship? What do we define our purpose as? If we could picture ourselves as a flower, are we growing more and more with the life of God? Or do we feel like our lives are seeping, struggling to walk with the Lord, and we seem like we're losing nutrients, we're losing our effectiveness, we're losing our purpose? If our lives are growing in a downward, ungodly direction, we might have an idol problem. When I used to work at McDonald's, we had a coffee machine that would make the McCafe special drinks. And often, as time went on, there would be an incorrect balance between the steamed milk and the coffee that it makes. So you have to go in and recalibrate it. Get the things back on track. So sometimes we as Christians, we look at our lives, we're like, you know what? There's something wrong with my life. Something's being seeped out. We're not experiencing the joy of the Lord or the power of the Holy Spirit. Something's going on. We need to recalibrate. Well, we take the idol test. What's number one? Look at our lives. What's number one? It doesn't have to be tangible, but what matters most to us? When people look at your life and when they look at my life, can they see what's number one? Can they see what defines you? Can they see what you're planted in? Are you planted in the soil of God? Or are you and I planted in the gravel of something else? An idol. The more we worship the created gods, the more we bring spiritual decay. The more we worship the Creator God, the more God brings spiritual vitality to us. And we live for Him. And we experience His power and His presence. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." You see, a flower isn't stagnant. It's always growing and living. And it's a living thing. It's never just stationary. And so the more we live in God, the more His life comes in us. The more we live in something else, the more the life is drained from us. Thankfully, as believers, we have the promise that when we trust in Jesus, we have eternal life. It's a done deal. And we will spend eternity in heaven in bliss and perfection. But as we walk in this life, we're called to live for Him, to have a relationship with Him, to nurture our relationship with Him. And the more we worship Him in our hearts, the more His life comes inside. That's why we are what we worship. Because when we worship a dead idol, we become dead. When we worship the living God, we become alive. They have hands, they do not handle feet, they have it, they do not walk. Those who make them are like them. So what's the solution? O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Not unto us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. The rest of the psalm, the psalmist is just worshiping God. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. The earth He has given the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor anyone who goes down into silence. But we will bless the Lord. We will worship God. God will be number one. If you are what you worship, wouldn't you want to worship God? Wouldn't you want God to be number one? Why? Because you'll become more like Him. Your life will reflect who He is. You will become more of a godly person, a representation of who God is and everything that He stands for. We were made to worship. We choose what we worship. Just take a look at our lives and look at all the experiences and ambitions and different things that we do. If we could put them on the place, where do they land? If we had a throne in our heart, what would be on the throne? I personally have to ask this. I'm involved and I go to work and I do construction work and I have a family. There's a ministry here I'm a part of. I'm a part in the political sphere. I have to ask myself, what takes precedence? God or these things? When somebody looks at my life, do they see God or do they see me and what I am interested in? And same thing with you, brothers and sisters, you and I cannot escape the fact that we were created to worship. We have to worship. It's inescapable. A flower can only be a flower. And you and I can only be what we were created to be. We were made to worship, but the question is, what do we worship? And finally, we are what we worship. I close with the final story. I remember back in Rhode Island, before I was a Christian, before I was saved, my family comes from a Catholic family. And we had in our backyard, I don't know who put it there, my great-grandfather, I'm not sure, but we had there a statue surrounded by a stone wall with two bushes on the side of Mary. And she was there all throughout my childhood at that home, but as I got into my teenage years and started pursuing ungodly things that were tearing my life apart, I became very empty inside. And I remember on occasion, I would go over to Mary. And I would sit down on that stone wall, and all the pain I was feeling that I couldn't articulate or think of, I remember just looking at her. And I didn't say it in my heart. I didn't say it in my mind, but if I could go back and articulate what I was feeling, I'd say, "You're doing nothing. Nothing." And then one day, I met the living God. The living God who wants to know me. The living God who wants to be involved in my life. The living God who had a different life for me to live. A life in Him. And He revealed Himself to me and He said, "Worship me." And I gave my life to this God. And even now I struggle because sometimes it's hard. You don't see God. But as a Christian, you know He's there. But you can see the things of this world. And it can be easy to draw your attention away from God and put it on Him. But I ask you, are you worshiping God? Do you know God? Is He your God? The God that defines you, is it created something in this world, or is it God, the Creator God? You can know Him. You can have Him as your God, personal Savior, Lord of your life. And you can spend your life worshiping Him and becoming more like Him. Remember in the Bible, listen now, remember in the Bible when it says, man is made in the image of God. You are made with the purpose of being, in a sense, a statue of God. So that when people look at you, they look past you, they see God. Don't we want to be in tune with that purpose for our lives? Let's come before Him and ask Him to do that for us. Father God in heaven, I thank You so much for this truth. Father in heaven, there may be somebody listening who realizes that something else has been number one their whole lives. And they need to make You number one. Would they come to know, Lord, that You want to be number one and You want to pour out Your blessings in their life to bring them the joy of knowing their purpose? Would You show them, Father, that they've sinned against You, they've done wrong things by worshiping idols, but that You are offering forgiveness through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for their sin, to give them forgiveness and to give them a fresh beginning. And I pray that they would call on You for salvation, O Lord. For all of us here, Father, look at our hearts, and I pray that You would show us what we've allowed to get in the way. And You would show us that we need to have You as number one. Only then
will we truly be who are we created to be? Help us, Father. Help us, Father. We don't want to live this life. We don't want to go through this life at odds with our purpose. Help us, Father God, to live in total, complete reliance on you for our purpose and fulfillment. Thank you, Father God, that you are beautiful. Not to us, but to you be all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.